Tommy, open your Bibles tonight, please, to the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3. The book of 2 Timothy chapter 3. Last week, we ended with the book of Galatians, where the Bible talks about the Bible's our schoolmaster, and it was talking about how God uses His Word to bring us to Christ, to show us our need for a Savior. And when you come, of course, to this great book of the Bible here in 2 Timothy chapter 3, you have the Apostle Paul is pouring in to a young pastor, Timothy, and he is really, really driving home the importance of the Bible and the importance of the Word of God, in the sense that it is of utmost importance. As a pastor, Paul was telling Paul as a pastor to another pastor was really pouring into him that it was utmost importance that he stay faithful and true to the Word of God. Next Wednesday night, we're going to talk about the characteristics of an itching ears church. We're going to look at some of that. Paul warned about the itching ears, and we'll read that in just a moment. We'll talk about that next Wednesday night. But tonight, we're going to talk about the wonder of the Word. God's Word is amazing. Amen? His word is amazing. His Word absolutely has the power to change your life. The Word of God is what God uses. The Holy Spirit of God will take and will use. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Here you have it, right? Right here is you have it. You have the Word of God. And it's important that we read it. It's important that we allow it to get into our lives. And so here in 2 Timothy chapter 3, please stand in honor and reverence to the reading of God's holy word. The wonder of the word. You pick up in verse 14 again. Paul says, but continue to this young preacher here. He says, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. We talked about this 2 weeks ago. It's profitable for doctrine. Remember that? We talked about the teaching of the Word of God. It's profitable for for reproof. That's convincing. It's profitable for correction. It's profitable for instruction in righteousness. Verse 17, that the man of God may be perfect, throughly furnished unto all good works. He then goes into chapter 4, verse 1, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead, at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come, and this is what we'll talk about next Wednesday, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. Father, we love you. We ask your blessing on the reading of your word, for it's in Jesus' name I pray, and amen. Thank you. May be seated. When you come to, very quickly, what we talked a little bit about last week, when you first come to this passage, you'll see that the Apostle Paul really talks to Timothy about the Bible's aim. What's the reason for the Word of God? What was the reason for the Bible? Well, Paul had told Timothy in verse 14 that he was to continue, 14a, he says, continue thou in the things which thou hast learned. Now, we know, according to chapter 1, verse 5, you could read that. In chapter 1, verse 5, Paul talked about how that his mom and his grandmother taught him the Word of God. They taught him from a child. He says, thou hast from a child you've known the Holy Scriptures. The importance of teaching kids the Word of God. Why is it important? Because we truly believe, and the Bible substantiates, that if you can get the Word of God into children, it has the opportunity to one day make them wise unto salvation. Meaning, it will one day prayerfully will show them their need of a Savior, and then repent and put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. We believe God will honor His Word, and we believe that the Lord Jesus Christ can do amazing things with His Word. So Paul tells Timothy, here's the aim of the Bible. The aim of the Bible, he says, is it will make you wise unto salvation. In other words, the Word of God directed him to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. The scripture has been given to us so we might know Jesus Christ in a personal way. Hold your place and go to the Gospel of John. Turn back to the Gospel of John, the last chapter, I believe it is. I didn't have it marked in my Bible, so we'll see if we can find it. I believe it's the last chapter. John chapter 20. John writes, you're going to see the aim of the Bible here in this great these two verses. John writes, he says, and many other signs, John 20, verse 30, many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written. So John's saying, hey, here you go. Jesus did more signs. He did some things that aren't written down. I mean, they didn't write down every single thing that Jesus did. Matter of fact, you'll see why in just a moment. He says, many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. You say, preacher, what's the significance of that? The significance of the word of God is the fact that God uses his word to point us to Jesus, to bring us to Christ. Matter of fact, look at the last chapter of the book of John, chapter 21, in verse 24 and 5. This is the disciple which testified, John 21, verse 24 and verse 25. This is the disciple which testified to these things and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written, every one, I suppose, that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. So we see in the text, you can go back now to Timothy here. You see in the text, and you see illustrated in the Gospel of John, that God gave us his word to bring us to Christ. He gave us his word to point us to Jesus. You know, when you look at the word of God, and sometimes people say, well, preacher, I had a cousin one time tell me, he said, I just can't live the Christian life. And I said to him, I said, you're absolutely right, you can't. I said, you have to have the Holy Spirit of God to live the Christian life. Amen? That's the only way you can live it. That's the only way you could honor Christ and live for God and serve him. You have to know the Lord as your Savior. And of course, that happens when a person repents and places their faith and trust in the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ the Lord. We talked about last time about Timothy's upbringing, how he was raised. We said to you that Timothy's mother was Jewish and his father was a Gentile. Now, keep in mind, when you think about that for a moment, Timothy, he would have been ostracized. He would have been looked down upon. Can you imagine as they would say, oh man, there's that Timothy. Oh, his mom's a Jew. Oh, she's one of God's chosen people. But oh, that his dad's a Gentile. And man, you could hear the gossip, right? You could hear the gossip. Baptists don't gossip. They share prayer requests, right? Yeah, so we can pray more intently for them. Listen, God already knows what's going on. But anyway, so you can imagine the gossip. You can imagine the stigma and the stereotype and the spirit around him. But thank God, though, God used Timothy's mother and he used his grandmother to pour the Bible into him. Day by day, there's no doubt they would teach him the word of God. They would teach him perhaps about the creation of man. They would teach him about the fall. They would teach him about Noah and the ark. They would teach him about Abraham and Daniel and David and Goliath. They were preparing Timothy's little heart so that one day he might be made wise unto salvation. The importance of getting the word of God in children. We also talked about the fact that, you know, his upbringing, but we also talk about the fact that he was, he was saved and became after he got saved, Paul became his mentor. Paul mentored him in the gospel. He mentored him in the ministry, and he taught Timothy what it was like and what was necessary to be a good preacher. Matter of fact, he told Timothy in the earlier chapters to stir up the gift that was in him. Man, Fire it up. You know, God's called you to a specific task for a specific purpose. And Timothy, you do it with fire. You do it with passion. You do it with every fiber of your being. Why? Because our days are numbered. Time is short. If we're going to do anything, here's what I think Paul was really stressing to Timothy. And I would stress it here today. If we're going to do anything for Jesus, we have to do it now. Amen? We have to do it now. Right now, we've got to stay busy for the Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul, well, you know, he, as this mentor of Timothy, he wanted him to know the Bible's aim. But now go back to our text, and I want you to see the Bible's author. The Bible's author. When you look at verse 16, the Apostle Paul, again, he's talking about the Word of God. And he's telling him another significant thing about the Bible. He says in verse 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Underline the word inspiration. All Scripture is given by inspiration. Scripture, of course, being the Bible, the Word of God, the Bible you hold in your hand. All Scripture is given by inspiration. The word inspiration, it's a word that literally means God breathed out. God breathed out His Word. And the Bible says in Peter's writings, I believe it is, that as God breathed it out, holy men of God, they wrote it as the Spirit of God was leading and directing their life. You know, one thing about the Word of God, and we told you this, but kind of keep in mind, as far as, you know, that really one of the reasons that substantiates, and there's so many, I mean, there's so many reasons, but one of the cool things about the Bible, in the sense that, you know, it's God, it has God as its author, is it was written over a period of 1,500 years. It was written on several different continents. It was written by over 40 different writers. And yet, when you read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, it has one central theme message that man is lost and they need Jesus as their Savior. That's the message. There's only salvation in the blood of Jesus Christ. That's the central message of the Word of God. You start out, somebody said, I actually had, I'm in different things on Facebook, and I'm in a pastor's kind of a group, and there's some fun things on there, and there's some encouragement things on there. But one was asking a question. He said, how do you deal with somebody that doesn't believe? They say they know the Lord is their Savior, but they do not believe the Old Testament is needed any longer, that we no longer need to even read the Old Testament. The New Testament, that's all we need to have. Here's the only problem with that. Here's what you got to understand. Without the Old Testament, you would not know that you're a sinner. Without the Old Testament, you would not understand that man is a fallen creature. You see, Jesus Christ, you say, yeah, Pastor, but Jesus, and they say, yeah, but there's verses in the New Testament that calls us a sinner. Yeah, but you'll also notice when it's mentioning some of them. A lot of those are referenced from the Old Testament. So just kind of keep that in mind. So the Old Testament, when it comes to the Old Testament, as one has said, I've used it for 20 plus years as a preacher, the Old Testament, Jesus isn't mentioned by name, but He's there in type. Jesus is there in type. I mean, you could see Christ throughout all of the Word of God. You can see Him in the Old Testament. You can see Him in the flood as the ark. So Jesus is a picture of the ark. Only those that were, get this, only those that were inside the ark were saved, right? Only those that were inside the ark lived. Only those that are in Christ will go to heaven when they die. So there's so many different types of Jesus in the Old Testament. But we see that in the context of the Word of God here, Paul says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. I was telling the students at Faith Christian School this morning, and I was actually preaching this message. And I was telling the young people, I said, you know, I remember when I did a youth conference one time at my first church I pastored. And I said, there was a guy, he's a friend of mine. And to be honest, he's still a friend of mine. But we agreed to... he agreed to be wrong. I'll just say it like that. And amen, because I'm right. And I'll tell you why I'm right on this. And I'm not going to budge on this. We were in my office, and as we were talking, and I don't even know how it came up, but Jeff Fain was in there, so he probably started this argument. Just kidding. But in my office, it got brought up, and my friend said, he said, well, Tracy, you do know. He said that there's portions of your Bible that really shouldn't even be in there. That's what he said. He said, what did you do? I stopped him. I said, wait a minute. I said, hold it. I said, it's all inspired.
I said, you either believe all of it or don't believe any of it, right? And I said to him, I said, listen here, I said, you're my friend. I said, don't you dare say that from my pulpit. Don't you dare say that from my pulpit. That was the last time he preached for me, by the way. But you say, Pastor, yeah, and listen, friend, the Holy Spirit of Almighty God is the one that inspired the word. It was God who, so the Holy Spirit inspired it, and God preserved it. Amen? God preserved his word. We have a copy, friend, of the preserved word of God right here in our hand. What a joyous message. What a joyous thing to know that God did not leave us like, you know, as somebody just kind of feeling around in the dark. No, God gave us his word so that we can know him. Amen? So that we could trust him as Savior, so that we could build our life on him. I said to the young people this morning, I said, listen, the Bible's such a powerful book, you can build your life on it. You can build your marriages on it. You can build your family on the Word of God. That's why, remember Joshua said, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now, how do we know the proper way to serve the Lord? Through the Word of God. That's how you know it. You study it. Somebody said, Pastor, I just want to know the will of God for my life. Well, here's how you're going to know it. You're going to know the will of God through seeking God and his word. He'll show you. He'll show you. You say, Pastor, you really believe that God will show me through his word? Yes, he will. I truly believe that. He did me when he called me to preach, and I really truly believe God will do the same thing for you. Go to Hebrews chapter 4. Turn to the right in your Bible. And look at Hebrews chapter 4 for a moment. So the Bible is divinely inspired of God. God inspired it. He breathed, as one writer said, he said, God breathed into Adam's nostrils the breath of life, and Adam became a living soul. We call that creation. But in inspiration, I love this, he said, in inspiration, God picked up the lifeless pages of manuscripts and breathed into them so that we have is a living, breathing word of the living God. Amen? The living, breathing word of God himself. What a tremendous blessing. So when you come to Hebrews chapter 4, look at verse 12. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. The Bible is inspired. God is his author. In Hebrews chapter 4, let me get there, verse 12. The writer says, for the word of God, look at verse 12. The word of God is quick. When he's using that word, he's saying it's alive. The word of God is a living book. Amen? It's alive. It's a living book. It's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and as a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. The word of God, it's quick, it's powerful, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. If you think about a two-edged sword, it cuts you going in and it cuts you going out. Amen? That's sharper than any two-edged sword. So the word of God, as its author, the Lord Jesus Christ says much about his word. Matter of fact, the Bible, I mean, somebody, and it's true, if you want to interpret scripture, you use scripture to interpret scripture. Amen? You use scripture to interpret scripture. So in the context of this, you know, the writer of Hebrews is telling us, hey, the living word, it's God's living word, it's quick, it's powerful. And God takes the living word, and the living word, Christ, takes the written word and deals with the unrest in human personality, and so deals with them that perfect rest result. When his authority is submitted to, he lays bare the deepest desire and intention of life. That was a lot of word there. You say, Pastor, what's the significance of it? There's power in his word. There's absolute power in the word of God. And I'll be honest with you. You know, we live in a culture, we live in a world today, we live in a very religious world, very religious climate, and I love to read. I haven't read a whole lot this year, just been crazy year, but
you know, with different things, fostering and the trial stuff, just crazy stuff. But I do. I try to make it a discipline of my life to be a reader. And every now and then, and I've read a lot of books by different authors, you know, by different writers, and of how to build a church, and, you know, the different methods and all this kind of stuff. And listen, I'm not opposed. I really am not. I'm not opposed to methods, as far as, and methods sometimes change. The message never changes. Can I get a witness? The message never changes, right? But methods sometimes do. I mean, we don't come to church in horse and buggies anymore. Amen? Right? Maybe you did. I don't know. Maybe some of you wrote in on it. That's why you're not amening it. But anyway, but methods sometimes do change. I mean, we use the internet ministry now. Who would have thought that 25, 30 years ago, right? That we reach all over the world, literally all around the world with the World Wide Web. We reach around the world with the internet in our internet ministry, and God's blessed that. But every now and then people say, well, Pastor, if you're going to build a church, preacher, if you're going to build a church, you got to do this, and you got to do this, you got to do this. Here's what I've learned, and God is my witness. I haven't written a book on pastoring by no means. I mean, I've got a few years under my belt, so to speak. But I really am of the deep conviction that if a man has fire in his soul, fire in his heart, and will take the word of God and just preach the word of God without apology, amen, without apology, I believe God, I really do. I really believe that God will bless, and I really believe that the Lord Jesus Christ, the best way to build a work that is pleasing to Jesus is build it on the word of God, amen. Jesus Christ is the head, right? We build it on the Word of God. The Word of God has to be a focal point. Why is the pulpit in the center of the sanctuary? Why is it right in the middle? You're looking at it right in the middle. I'll tell you why. Because what goes on here is central to what we do. It's a focal point of what we do. The Awana program. You know what they're doing in the Awana program? You say they're eating snacks and playing games. Yeah, they do some of that. But primarily what they're doing in the Awana program is teaching these children the Word of God. That's what they're doing. They're pouring the Bible into these children, into these middle schoolers, into these teenagers. We do the same thing with Sunday school. We pour the Word of God into your life. And yes, and we know, you know, oftentimes we do different topics and different things as far as we look at different things. But we do. We'll tie it to everyday life and, you know, different things. Our class is looking at the irresistible church kind of stuff and different characteristics of a church that's irresistible to heaven. And we've talked a lot about that. We've even used some of that material here from the pulpit. But nonetheless, we understand that the Bible absolutely is critical. So it's divinely inspired. Second of all, the Bible is verbally inspired. It's verbally inspired. Every word is God-breathed. Every single word is God-breathed. God breathed it out. Do we not believe that? We believe that. Why? You say, yeah, but Pastor, I mean, you even said for yourself that your friend said that there's errors in it and that there's portions of it that shouldn't be in it. Listen, friend, that's not my call to make. I'll leave that up to the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit of God is the one that led and guided and directed those men as they wrote it down. Every word is God-breathed. The words are inspired. If this is not true, then the Bible is just simply inspired in spots, and who's qualified to pick out those spots? Listen, friend, I said this before, but I want to say it again. We either believe all of it or we believe none of it. We either believe it all or we don't believe any of it. I choose to believe it all. Amen? I choose to believe it all, and I choose to really, truly believe that it still works, that the Bible still works, that God, he still uses his word, and you can build churches with his word. You don't have to compromise the message. Remember I said that to you? Sometimes methods change, you know, but you do not compromise the message. You can't do it. The message is man is a sinner. The message is Jesus died on the cross for his sins. The message is that if a man, woman, boy, or girl repent of their sin, repent of being a sinner, and place their faith and trust in Christ alone,
his death, burial, and resurrection, that God will born them again into his family and kingdom. You say, preacher, that's not a proper phrase, born them again. Well, it's a Bible phrase. Amen. John 3, you must, Jesus said, ye must be born again. What a tremendous blessing to know that God uses his word. He tells us that through his word. So it's divinely inspired. It's verbally inspired. Last of all, it's completely inspired. All scripture. I choose to believe it all, don't you? The whole and every part of the whole are inspired of God. Now, last of all, we'll say a few things about this. So, if we understand the author of the Bible, we understand as far as the author being God, we understand that God breathed it out and holy men of God wrote it down, divinely inspired, verbally inspired, completely inspired. We come now to our final thing. If we believe the aim of the Word of God, the Bible, is to point people to Jesus and show them their need of a Savior, we believe that. We know that's biblical principle. We also believe in the context that God is the author of the Bible. The last thing we're going to talk about, then we see the assumptions of the Bible. We can make some assumptions. There are things in the context of believing that God's the author, believing that the aim of Scripture is to point people to Jesus and show them their need of a Savior, then we also believe that what we believe about the Bible will have an effect on our life. Paul talks about the same thing beginning in chapter 4. Look what he says in chapter 4, verse 1. He says, I charge thee therefore before God. Now again, remember what we said? Anytime you come to the words wherefore or therefore in the Word of God, you stop and see what they're there for. It's very just a simple way, kind of a unique way to remember that. So Paul says, I charge thee, therefore. Now he's flipped us back to the earlier verses. He's told us that the Word of God is absolutely, God's the author of it. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. God breathed it out. And Paul's telling us, so he's told Timothy that, he substantiated the fact that God's word is absolutely divinely inspired. It's what God uses to show men their need of a Savior. Matter of fact, the word of God introduces us to the Savior. Amen? How did you get introduced to Jesus? You got introduced to Jesus, say, through a soul winner. Well, that may be true, and I thank God for that. But you were introduced, even if it was a soul winner, you were introduced to Jesus by the Word of God. That's how we were introduced to Him. And when you think about the Word of God here, Paul says, now, here's some assumptions that we can make based on what we believe about the Bible. What we believe about its aim and its author will have an effect on our life. So we see how it affects us. Well, in Paul's life to this young preacher, those two thoughts affect our preaching. Look at the text. He says, I charge thee therefore, verse 1 of chapter 4, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Look at verse 2. Preach the word. Preach the word. That's it. Preach the word. Preach the Bible. Amen? Preach it. You know, as one writer says, he said, when it comes to the word of God, you preach it faithfully. You preach it frequently. You preach it effectively. You preach it continually. You preach the Bible. You preach the Word of God. You preach it faithfully because you're accountable. Paul said to Timothy, God's going to judge. God's going to judge. He's going to judge the quick. He's going to judge the dead. Therefore, you preach the Word of God. You preach it frequently, in season, out of season. You preach it when you feel like preaching, you preach it. When you don't feel like preaching, you preach it. You keep a message ready. You keep a message in your heart. You be ready to preach. You be ready to share the Word of God. One of the things that we did when I was a young preacher, Brother Jeff Fain taught us this, I loved it. We used to do, we would prepare, what was it, a 30-second or 60-second sermon, I think it was. We could preach for 60 seconds. We had 2 minutes to study the text, and then we had to develop a sermon out of that. You say, Pastor, boy, that's dangerous, isn't it? It can be, because you want to make sure you have the right context of it. But the point is, he was teaching us that to always be ready. Always be ready to preach the Bible. Amen? If God's called you to preach, be ready. Be ready to preach. God's given you an awesome opportunity to do that. The Bible is central in our worship, if you don't hear some things from the Bible, listen, friend. If we assemble and we don't hear from the Word of God, why assemble? Right? If we assemble in a worship service and the Word of God does not get preached, why assemble? Why should we assemble together then? You see, we understand that the Word of God, Paul says, you preach it. It affects one's preaching. You preach the Bible. You preach the Word of God. My pastor used to say this. He said, preaching the Word of God is like turning the light on in a barn. You can tell he's from Kentucky. He said, preaching the Word of God is like turning a light on in a barn. He said, when you turn a light on in a barn, he said, it'll make a bird sing, but it'll make a rat run for cover. Right? The Word of God, he said, Pastor, I'll be honest, you know, there are times, and I've had people say this to me, there are times when people say, Preacher, I just felt like, you know, you were preaching that right at me. I felt like you've been following me around town. I don't do that. I promise you I don't. And listen, I don't have to do that, because the Holy Spirit of God can do a far greater job in your life than I can. And the Holy Spirit of God can take His Word. I'm of the deep conviction that God can use His Word. You say, Pastor, I'll be honest. There's things in my life when I come into a service, and, you know, there's things I'm dealing with. There's things I'm struggling with. There's different situations that I'm dealing with. Here's what I believe. I deeply, deeply believe this. I deeply believe that God can show up in a service through His Word and give you often what you stand in need of. I believe that, brother. I absolutely believe that. And I'll be honest with you, friend. We should never underestimate the power of one service. Don't ever underestimate the power of one service. He said, Pastor, I want to bring somebody to church so they can hear the gospel. What service should I bring them to? You can bring them to any of them. You can bring them Sunday morning Sunday school. You can bring them Sunday school 11 o'clock hour, 6 o'clock hour. You can bring them 7 o'clock on Wednesday night. They're going to hear the gospel. They're going to be given an opportunity to hear about Christ, who would love to save them, love to change their life. And you say, Pastor, how do you... Why is that such a big deal? Listen, it pleased God. Listen to this. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. God uses preaching, but not just any preaching. He uses preaching of His Word to convert people. He uses preaching of the Bible to show people their need of a Savior and give them the opportunity to repent and to believe the gospel. What a tremendous blessing we see in Scripture. So Paul says, Timothy, what we believe about the aim of the Bible and the author of the Bible, it has effects on our life. We can make assumptions that it will indeed affect the way we preach. But also, last of all, it's going to affect the way we witness. What we believe about the Bible will affect the way we witness. Do we not believe it's the Word of God? Sure, we believe it's the Word of God. Paul tells him, look what he says to him in verse 5 of chapter 4. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions. Ministry is not for sissies. Amen. Ministry, preaching, pastoring is not for wimps, man. It's not. It's not for sissies. And Paul says to this young preacher, you endure affliction. You know, Bible scholars seem to think that Timothy was perhaps a very timid individual. Had perhaps stomach problems. And that's why Paul said, hey, use a little wine for thy stomach's sake and thine often infirmities for medicinal purposes there. And so some seem to think that Timothy maybe was sometimes a little, you know, a little nervous, right? But Timothy now is told by Paul, you endure afflictions. And then notice what he says. Do the work of an evangelist. Do the work of an evangelist. Witnessing. What do we do? We witness. How can you witness if you have, listen, those preachers, and I've met some of them, son. Those preachers that, you know, they'll believe this portion's inspired, but this portion isn't inspired. They use the Gospel of John, and they'll try to say one or two chapters, I think it is, isn't inspired and shouldn't be in there. Listen, friend. How can we witness effectively if we have no confidence in the Bible? How can we witness effectively if we have no confidence in the Bible? But I got news for you. We do have confidence in the Bible. We absolutely have confidence in the Word of God. I'm of the deep conviction that if you share the gospel, honestly, if you just share the gospel, God can use it. You say, preacher, I'm just not a great soul winner. You don't have to be. You don't have to be. You say, preacher, all I can do is tell them that Jesus saved me, forgave me of my sins. When I ask him to forgive me and I believe that he died, was buried, rose again, he saved me. Preacher, that's all I can tell them. That's a good thing to tell them. Tell them what Jesus did for you. My cousin one time, remember I tell you about that? My cousin one time, I was talking to him, this was years ago. He's now a great soul winner. Years ago, he said to me, he said, Tracy, he said, I don't go slow. He said, I don't know what to tell him. And I said, Doug, just simply tell him what Jesus has done in your life. The power of a testimony, but not just the power of your testimony. Tell them the message that God used to change your life, because he did it through the gospel. It affects our preaching. We make assumptions. It absolutely affects our preaching. It affects the way we live. The Bible absolutely should be a central focus of your life. It should be a central focus in your family. You know, there are things, listen, friend, there are things that I do not do because of the Bible. But there are things that I do because of the Bible as well. I assemble with the church. Why? Because the Bible tells me to. I try to be a witness. Why? Because the Bible tells me to be a witness. I try to be kind to people. Why? Because the Bible tells me I'm to be kind to people. I try to be a forgiving person, somebody that forgives people when they hurt you or they injure you. I try to be a forgiving person. Why? Because the Bible tells me I need to be a forgiving person. The Bible absolutely should affect our life in a positive way. It absolutely does, and it should. So Timothy is told by this great preacher, you take a stand for the Word of God, the wonder of the Word. Again, next week we're going to talk about the characteristics of an itching ears church. What are some characteristics of a church that Paul warned about that they would desert the truth, they would forsake the truth, and they would go after teachers having itching ears? We're going to talk about that next week. Let's all stand, please, for a hymn of invitation. If the Lord spoke to your heart, we'll give you an opportunity to respond. Those watching by internet, we'll give you opportunity as well. Right there where you're at, you can repent. Believe the gospel to the saving of your soul. Hopefully you'll do that. Maybe you'd like to come and pray. Man, if God's dealt with you in any way and you need to respond, this song, this verse, first verse, is for you. You come as we sing. What's the number, bud?
298, Only Trust Him.
Only Trust Him. You come as we sing.